look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you from our radio and television studios here in Northwest Pennsylvania, live each and every weekday from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We are also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, and you can watch us on YouTube and listen to us on Global Star Radio Archive. Global Star Radio, and you can get the archives to the show both on YouTube and through Blog Talk Radio. We have two separate websites for our radio and TV show, the Hagman and Hagman Report, as well as Hagman Report and HagmanandHagman.com. We have a great show for you tonight. Paul McGuire is our guest. Paul is a friend of the program. His website is paulmcguire.us, folks, and he has a new radio show, The Paul McGuire Report, and that airs 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time each and every weekday on Blog Talk Radio, and as well as SoundCloud and many other places to find it. If you go to his website, paulmcguire.us, you can find all the links to his radio show. We're going to be talking about a number of things tonight, from the domestic issues that have been going on and the unrest that has been happening in the Middle East, the failed Turkey coup, and a lot of other things through the lens of Bible prophecy as we see it unfolding each day right before our eyes. With that, I want to bring in our guest, Mr. Paul McGuire. Paul, it's great to have you back on the show. I know you just got back from the Prophecy Watchers Conference in Colorado. How was the conference?
Joe, it's great to be on your program again, and the conference at Prophecy Watchers was outstanding. They had a lot of great speakers. I know most of them because I interviewed them for the TV show I do, Apocalypse and the End Times on God TV, but really cutting-edge stuff. You know, with all these prophecy conferences, and you guys have been at a bunch of them, and I've been with you at a bunch of them, when I first started coming on your show and we talked about prophecy, obviously it was of great interest to people, but it's becoming every week, every month, it becomes more interesting because of what's going on in current events. I mean, in the 3 weeks to 4 weeks before I did that prophecy conference, there was the attempted coup in Turkey. There was the massacre in Nice. There was the Dallas shooting by the gunman. You know, just stuff is exploding. And your program, of course, the Hagman and Hagman Report, which does both current events and prophecy through people like me, you capture all that. But you know, a lot of the what I call the mainstream media, well, they call themselves the mainstream media, but the mainstream media operates at a disadvantage to programs like yours, the Hagman and Hagman Report, because they are completely biased against the reality of God in their news coverage, and completely biased in terms of never covering or acknowledging Bible prophecy. Their coverage becomes almost ridiculous at times, because there will be all these news events happening that clearly have either a prophetic angle to them, or there's a powerful spiritual truth that is should be obvious to people, that is very much a part of a current event, and they have to bend over backwards and contort themselves upside down in an effort not to state the obvious, which that it has to do with God or a belief in God or Bible prophecy. A case in point would be Turkey, the so-called Turkey coup, you know, the idea that the head of Turkey may well have initiated the coup himself so that he could consolidate his Islamic power or his efforts at being an Islamic nation and establishing an Islamic caliphate, and also to reinforce his ties with terrorist groups. Now, the general mass media, unlike your program, kind of whitewashed that. They didn't really bring that out. In fact, most of them didn't even bring it out at all. But on your program, you brought it out. And I don't think you can understand what really happened in Turkey unless you understand Turkey's relationship to NATO, Turkey's relationship to the European Union, Turkey's relationship to militant Islam, and then how this fits into Bible prophecy. So we live in a time where your program and messages that I have to bring and messages that your guests have to bring, we are bringing messages that you can't, that without understanding the puzzle pieces that we bring to the table, you can't understand what's going on. In other words, there are so many dots that the public is hungry to have put together so that they can understand, but the media is deliberately not doing it. So when I go to these conferences and I meet people, and by the way, you and your dad should know that one of the most common questions I get right up front at these Bible prophecy conferences that I speak at is, oh, I hear you on the Hagman and Hagman show all the time. So you have a huge fan base of people that attend these conferences and are regularly listening to your programs. But then they also will say to me, you know, Paul, tell us what you think is happening with Turkey or whatever it is, because they understand that the media is holding out on them and that the media is not connecting the dots, and they're hungry to have those dots connected, and that's why they're tuning in to the Hagman and Hagman Report, because you're offering stuff that is being censored in the media. I know I was long-winded, but I hope I got my message across.
No, you did, very much so. And we had Stan Dale came back this week onto our show. He usually comes on every Tuesday, and he took a break there before the conferences to get his lectures ready. And he mentioned the same thing, that there were a lot of Hagman and Hagman listeners in the crowd, and that he received a lot of comments about being on the show, and a lot of people who listened to us were coming up to him and letting him know that they hear him on our show on a regular basis and enjoyed it a lot. And just can't say thank you enough to our audience members out there who do support our guest, whether it's financial or, you know, with prayers, email, spreading the word about their work, their radio shows, their books. That's very important. And, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do, and that's helping spread the word about the truth, not only in the world today, but of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can't thank them enough, because it's something really special that you don't see really anywhere else aside from a few shows that focus on current events through the biblical perspective and the answer of Jesus Christ being the answer to all things. That's lacking in most media shows today.
Well, it is, because while I was at the conference, they have a break room where you can get a snack or whatever in the hotel. At most of these conferences where I speak at, the Bible prophecy conferences that I speak at. And so there's usually a giant screen that the hotel has on, and they have it on all the time, and it's usually tuned to CNN or Fox News Network. And, you know, Fox and CNN are going on and on about whatever they're going on and on about. But you could switch channels. There's very little difference, if any, now between Fox and CNN. And then the other thing is they never probe into the depths of something. So for example, the other night when Cruz was speaking and... You know, the audience was booing him because it's just common courtesy and protocol that if you're invited to speak at any political convention and the nominee of the party is the one inviting you to speak and you have already agreed to endorse him because that's what is expected, and then you use the time, I don't know how long he was up there, you use the time to purely promote yourself and to promote perhaps some political race you hope to enter in 2020, the audience perceived that as very, very rude, because it is rude. You don't promise mm-hmm. to endorse a candidate, not do it, and then he got booed and booed and booed. But the media covered that part because they had to. But CNN surprised me. Because they did say when his wife, Heidi Cruz, was booed out of the room. And one may say, well, why would Heidi Cruz be booed out of the room? Because when we started talking about this a year ago, people didn't understand it. But I know you and I and your father have done countless programs where we talked about Heidi Cruz being involved with the globalists, being involved in the North American Union, being involved in the... Council on Foreign Relations project to unify Canada, Mexico, and the United States. Heidi Cruz is a globalist. She has a globalist biography. She's globalist all over her. And the reason the audience booed her at the convention was they wanted her out. They didn't want a globalist. That's what they were saying. And so she had to run. And what was interesting is some news anchor at CNN was the only one who made a comment. Everybody else censored it. He said, well, they're booing her because, you know, she's connected with Goldman Sachs, the international bankers. But what was also interesting was that they were booing her because the fact that she tends to be this big Christian, but in reality, she's a globalist. She's a one world government person. And the people didn't like that, and they were booing her because they're not for globalism. They're not for a one world government. But you won't hear that. You won't hear that discussion anywhere except on a few programs, and one of those programs is yours. And I know that because we've discussed it for several years. You tune on your average news media, they won't ever bring that up. You're not allowed to talk about it. So people are hungry for truth, and they want to know, for example, they want to know the truth about Heidi Cruz's globalist international banking connections, because both the Cruises spend a great deal of time telling everybody how committed and deep they are in terms of being Bible-believing Christians, and we hear endlessly about how Cruz's father is a minister and endlessly about their Christianity and endlessly about how they're strict constitutionalists. Well, I'm not here to judge their personal faith in Christ, but they are globalists, and they are on they're on the side of the agenda of the international bankers. So I don't understand how you can be a committed Christian and be a globalist at the same time. But only programs like yours do you have the opportunity to even bring that up.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. And one thing I saw in the wake of the just after the Baton Rouge shootings, I was the police officers. I was watching local Baton Rouge news coverage, and they brought a priest on, and the priest was making some good points. He was a Catholic priest, and he kept referencing God. One thing I noticed is that he never mentioned Jesus in his broadcast. In the broadcast. But it was already rare for, you know, to see the pastor on there. That's far and few between on any news shows nowadays. But this was the local show where tragedy had just struck. And they brought this pastor on, and he was making valid points, you know, that everybody falls short of the glory and everybody is a sinner, and, you know, laying that out. But, you know, they never, from what I listened to, they never mentioned Jesus. They only kept saying, you know, God this, God that. And we see the removal of Jesus from not only the political world, whether it's courthouses, schools, and whatnot, but it's coming to a point where even churches today are not mentioning Jesus, and or propping up, you know, Mary and all these unbiblical ideas of Christianity that have been invented by man. And it just seems that whether it's from churches to believers to leaders in churches, it is just very sad to see the erosion of, you know, the biblical foundations and what is taught in the Bible being taken away. And with Hillary Clinton, you know, you have basically an admitted witch. And, you know, my dad talks about the emails that came out, how she mentioned sacrificing chickens to Moloch in her backyard. How it's come out from people who were her aides and advisors that she would fly to California on a monthly basis to be part of some witch's coven. And, you know, back to Ted Cruz, we see that what you said, that, you know, he took the stage at the RNC and was promoting, you know, the 2020 idea, and said, you know, all of the people on the Republican side took the pledge that they would not run third party and would support the eventual nominee. Mm-hmm. And several of them have not, you know, kept up their end of the bargain. And not that Donald Trump is our answer, not that he is, you know, going to do anything for the better, but we do know what Hillary Clinton will bring. And to see this divide among people because Ted Cruz did not get the nomination as he'd like, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt the country. And for him to take the stage with his own selfish interest and not, as Laura Ingraham said, it was like a bunch of young men and little boys, you know, doing what they do best instead of stepping up to the plate and doing what they're supposed to do. And it's just unfortunate to see this happen in a time when it's so important, if we do have this next election, who becomes president. And more importantly, that it's not Hillary Clinton.
Well, the thing that bothered me about some of the stuff going on at the convention and surrounding the convention has to do with a lack of integrity, and also it reveals character. Because, again, the rule was, okay, the nominee, who is Donald Trump, whether you like it or not, has invited you to speak at the convention, and the rule is you're expected to endorse him. So you go back on what you pledged to do, because he pledged to endorse whoever the candidate was earlier on. So there's an act of betrayal, and I think it's selfish, it lacks integrity, and I believe it's a real revealing of the true character of the individual doing that. Now, having said that, the same with Kasich. I know Kasich, by the way. I used to debate on Fox News Network. For whatever reason, he and I used to appear on the Fox News Network all the time together. Obviously, he would be broadcast in from whatever state he was in, and I would be in the Los Angeles studios. But we ended up a lot talking about certain issues. He was always polite and a nice guy, and what he's done lately has really surprised me. So when he, equally petty and vindictive, and it does not speak well of him, because it betrays a lack of honor on his part, and it's also vindictive, and it reveals a lot about his character for him to take the posture he's taken against Trump. Reveals a lot about his character, and doesn't speak well of his character. So you have that going on, and then you have Jeb Bush and George Bush. Now, again, it has to do with character. Both of these men, Jeb Bush and George Bush, have spoken of for years publicly about how you're supposed to be loyal to the Republican Party no matter what, and you have to put the objectives of the Republican Party above that of your own. I mean, they constantly spoke about that. And yet, both of them, especially Jeb Bush, in a very mean-spirited way, and in a way which is in a total contradiction to what they were claiming, both refuse, not only refuse to endorse Trump, but they attack the man. And it comes off as very cheap and vindictive, and it comes off like he's a sore loser. It's what we're seeing is the revealing of people's real characters, real character, and a lack of honor that you would expect from somebody. You really wouldn't expect it from a Kasich or even a Cruz or one of the Bushes. You would expect a certain level of honor, but I see no honor. I see a very vindictive, and the only reason I can imagine that they would behave that way was, one is their egos were hurt, because they were embarrassed in the debates, but that's just the way it is. A debate is a debate. But the other thing is, they're globalists. Kasich is a globalist, Cruz is a globalist, and Bush is certainly a globalist. And then the other thing is, it's interesting that before Trump became the official nominee of the Republican Party, he was being attacked by numerous European leaders who are known globalists. One specifically is the head of the IMF, Christine Lagarde. She's the one who's deeply involved in the occult. I write about her and her occult involvement and her economics in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. And ironically, I wrote about her in the earlier book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. And for those of your listeners that may not remember, she gave several speeches. I have videos of them on my website, paulmcguire.us. She gave several speeches to the Council on Foreign Relations and the National Press Club, where she spends about 75% of her speech talking about numerology, the occult, and then she spends about 25% talking about economics. So she's a hardcore occultist and globalist, and she's talking about a global financial reboot that is coming, which is code for we're going to crash the dollar as the world's currency, and we're going to reboot the entire financial system and give you a new global currency, a cashless society, and eventually, you know, some kind of Mark of the Beast technology. So that's the game plan of the International Monetary Fund and the globalists. So isn't it interesting that she and other high-profile globalists, members of the Bilderberg Group, and members of occultic groups, they were all attacking Trump. They weren't attacking the other candidates. They were all attacking Trump, which tells you that the globalists perceive Trump as their greatest threat. And it also exposes the fact that the globalists are quite comfortable having the Bushes or the Kasich or Cruz or some of the other people as candidates. The globalists are quite comfortable with that. The people that they're uncomfortable with are Trump. And what she said was specifically, she said it in the, I believe it was the Financial Times of London, one of the most prestigious economic newspapers in the world. Christine Lagarde said that Trump would be bad for the global economy. Now, when she said that, I had to laugh. And this was, she said this a couple of weeks ago. I laugh because Trump being bad for the global economy, well, in the last 10 years, the elite have never gotten wealthier, and the elite have become more wealthy in the last 10 years than they ever have before. The middle class and the working class have lost more income than they ever have before in the last 10 years. So this is what Christine Lagarde and the globalists, I guess, consider an acceptable economy. For the elite to get richer, the middle class and the working class to get poorer, that's fine. So Trump must be a threat to that, the status quo. And so the only way you can interpret it is the reason she's upset about Trump is that he is a threat to the elite's game plan and monopoly over finances, which is to make the middle class and the working class poor and the elite richer. Why else would you criticize Trump? He's the only one that the globalists perceive to be their threat. The other ones, the globalists perceive to be in on the game. They're part of the game.
Absolutely. And, you know, what you said about the rich getting richer, I don't remember the exact statistics, but the top 1% of the 1% has accumulated more than half the world's wealth. And we see the middle class and the other classes here in America continuing to take hits. And, you know, taxes being raised, the national debt's increasing, and especially with the new trade agreements that are on the table, they're looking to finish their globalization of trade and lock in the global economy through these trade deals. And we see that them talking about rolling out a global digital currency and creating the North American Union, like the European Union, and, taking the economy into, like you said, a global reset, with the Hillary even saying she'll bring in and legalize millions more of immigrants to make sure that her, you know, one world order, their one world order, continues to progress as they planned. I wanted to ask you this, Paul, about Hillary Clinton and the, you know, apparent polls. I don't put much stock into polls, but throughout the last few months since we knew Trump was going to be the nominee, they have basically said that, you know, since then to now, Trump has gained maybe a 7-point lead on Hillary, and they're very close. But even with all the media hypocrisy and the backing of Hillary Clinton and the trashing of Trump, how can people support Hillary Clinton? I mean, is this ignorance, or is this ignoring, intentionally ignoring the facts about her for, and the disdain for Donald Trump that leads people to vote for her? There was a poll, 71% said they would still vote for her even if she was under indictment for the email scandal. And we know her track record politically as well as spiritually, as you laid out, and who her, and Ben Carson did a great job, you know, of calling her out for what she is, as she says Saul Alinsky was one of her you know, heroes and mentors, and how Saul Alinsky's book Rules for Radicals was dedicated to Lucifer, the first radical. How can people still vote for her? Is it out of ignorance, or is it out of willful ignorance?
I ask myself that question all the time, because forgetting about politics for the moment, you know, most people, not all people, but most people have some kind of ability to judge by a person's facial mannerisms, the look in their eyes, the way they carry themselves. Most people have some ability to judge whether or not somebody's evil or not. So if you're like a director of a feature film or a TV series, you're a director or a casting director, or if you're an actor, a director knows what kind of person can play somebody who's evil, or what kind of actor or actress is able to manufacture the characteristics of somebody who's evil. So when you see an evil character on television or film, they have certain characteristics. Now, many of the expressions, the facial expressions, and the way she carries herself, and her and the way her the way she speaks, she comes off as as evil, that, of course, is not sufficient enough to determine whether she's evil, but she comes off as evil. So if you were a casting director casting a movie, you would have to say, this is an evil character. She doesn't come off as trustworthy. So all the American people seem to agree, because the polls all agree, that Hillary is not considered trustworthy by the vast majority of the American people, including people who are Democrats. Yet, at the same time, she enjoys a majority vote in her party. Even though they don't think she's trustworthy, they're still going to vote for her. So I think this has to do with the fact that there are a significant percentage of people in the Democratic Party, or any person who would vote for Hillary Clinton, that they know she's not trustworthy, because that's what the polls say, but they're willing to vote for her anyway, because even though she's not trustworthy, she is the champion of whatever political or social agenda that they want to see put forward, whether it's a feminist agenda, or whether it's a pro-abortion agenda, or whatever it is. She has a very precise list. They're going to vote for her and ignore everything else, because she is the champion of certain agendas that they want in office. So you have a lot of people, for example, and this is very disturbing, they did a poll of 150 of the high-tech entrepreneurs and the high-tech giants, and these people are somewhat younger than the heads of other businesses, but they're the ones that run the software companies, the computer companies, and the high-tech companies. And the vast majority of them are going to, and these individuals are not stupid and they are perceptive, but the vast majority of them are going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And the reason they're going to vote for her is that she's going to further their globalist agenda for their own personal and private economic expansion. And the other thing is that Hillary, Obama, and even George Bush, at least for his last 4 years in office, Bush, Obama, and Hillary have been the darlings of Wall Street. They have cut all kinds of deals that have caused the 1% to make phenomenal profits at the expense of the middle class, and they're insiders with Wall Street, and they've created all kinds of deals that have caused the heads of Wall Street to make fortunes. I mean, the amount of money that the 1% have made over the last 10 years is an all-time record. We have not only in America, but in Europe also, the 1% literally seem to own the politicians in Europe, in Great Britain, in France, and America, and they have accumulated unprecedented wealth. They've become rich beyond belief, whereas simultaneously the middle class and the working class have become poorer and poorer because of these same policies. So I think the elite class especially, and any class that votes for her, they're willing to overlook her evil attributes, because she's pushing forward whatever their agenda is, pro-abortion or whatever it is. They're looking to, they will look the other way, and that's the problem. Now, up until recently, Bernie Sanders appeared to appeal to the honesty in the Democratic Party, especially among young people, and in complete contradiction to many of the establishment Republicans, Bernie Andrews attacked Wall Street for their greed. He spoke against it, and he attacked and exposed all the trade treaties. And he had far more integrity in attacking trade treaties in Wall Street than most of the establishment Republicans. But very recently, it appears that he has made some kind of deal with Hillary, and he is angered because he's now become silent about Hillary's being in cahoots with Wall Street and the 1%. a lot of his supporters, Bernie supporters, are furious and angry with him because they feel like he's betrayed them. So, again, it comes down to we have a certain class of politicians that are doing what the globalists and the international bankers and the elite want, and we have a smaller number of politicians in both parties that have whatever degree of integrity that have been exposing what the international bankers and the elite have been doing. Because a lot of people have never been poor. Healthcare, you could go down the list. A standard of living, healthcare, the middle class and the working class is getting clobbered all over the world, but yet the rich are getting richer and richer and richer. And this has to do with the policies of politicians in Europe and in America that are deliberately favoring the elite, because the elite are giving them enormous sums of money. They're funding their political campaign secretly.
Absolutely. And to just continue briefly here on Hillary Clinton, you know, she is for, like you said, the globalist policies of net neutrality, the elimination of free speech, the elimination of the Second Amendment. She wants to, increase the number of illegal immigrants that come in this country. She wants to continue to undo the Constitution as the presidents before her have done. And I was listening to a radio show on my way here to the studio where they mentioned in an interview she gave how she described herself as an early 20th century progressive. If you could you give our audience an idea of what that is?
Well, I'm laughing because it sounds like the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. She described herself as an early 20th century progressive, which is essentially an early 20th century progressive would be the equivalent today of being a moderate or perhaps a liberal Republican. So if you just substitute the words 20th century progressive and you substitute the words liberal Republican, by today's standards, that's essentially how she's defining herself. But that is not who she is at all, because as you said in the earlier part of the program, which I thought was one of the best speeches so far at the Republican National Convention, where Dr. Ben Carson really took the gloves off, wasn't mm-hmm. politically correct and said it like it was. He exposed Hillary Clinton by simply saying she's a disciple, which is true, of Saul Alinsky, who wrote a famous radical book called Rules for Radicals. And in the preface of the book, Saul Alinsky dedicates his book, because Saul Alinsky is a Marxist community organizer. He's a communist who believes in working in the local communities to foment a communist revolution. Saul Alinsky dedicates his book to, as what he says, one of the world's first original radicals, Lucifer. And so he praises Lucifer for being one of the world's first rebels and radicals, and he devotes his book to him. Now, you know, on one hand, you could say, well, Alinsky was really an atheist, and he's doing that as a tongue-in-cheek metaphor. I don't believe that. Karl Marx, the one of the co-authors of the Communist Manifesto, was a practicing Satanist. He attended a satanic church. His sister was the priestess of a satanic church. Karl Marx was a Satanist, and it wasn't a metaphor when we say he was a Satanist. He was a Satanist. And when you really study, and I've been doing an intensive study on airplanes lately, because I've been on planes going to conferences everywhere. I did an intensive study flying back and forth from the last conference on the relationship between the occult, occultic mind control, and spy agencies like the CIA, British intelligence, and the KGB, and as I said, British intelligence, and how they interface with Aleister Crowley, Satanism, satanic rituals, is often a part of the highest levels of intelligence, including the KGB, because the KGB always came off, at least publicly, like they were atheists and they didn't believe in God or Satan. But secretly, many of the highest level communists were practicing Satanists, were involved in satanic rituals, as Karl Marx was. So for Saul Alinsky to make that remark, it would be interesting to dig deeper into his hidden biography and really do an investigation deeper into his biography to see if indeed he had participation and involvement in Satanism and the occult. Because what I found through researching all of my books, and I you know, like in A Prophecy of the Future of America, I found when I researched the lives of whether it's Adolf Hitler or Winston Churchill or high-level presidents of the United States or high-level people in intelligence agencies or MK Ultra or Monarch Mind Control or Aleister Crowley, or we could go down the list. When you really dig into the biographies of some of these most powerful world leaders and leaders in the highest levels of intelligence agencies, you will often find that when you scratch beneath the surface publicly, like the Fabian socialists, like H.G. Wells, who was a science fiction author, but he was also the head of British intelligence, Bertrand Russell, Aldous Huxley, all these guys pretended or said publicly they were atheists and they didn't believe in a devil or a god. But when you really dug into their backgrounds, that wasn't true. They were members of the Royal Psychic Society of London. They were involved in Satanism and satanic rituals and witchcraft, and they were deeply in the occult. So what I'm saying is that you will often find behind the scenes, and I have yet to do this with Alinsky, but I suspect it's there. If you really dig deep enough, you'll find he isn't just an atheist. He really was a practicing Satanist. And what you said, by the way, about Hillary Clinton and her alleged involvement in satanic churches and witchcraft and activities like that, I have not done a study regarding her life. I know to some degree her occult involvement. I know that she's involved in the occult at certain levels. But the information that you just made regarding her activities in allegedly in witchcraft or whatever, I have heard with increasing frequency recently, and it's something I want to dig into, because it's very important that we really probe deeply into the lives of these people, because if you probe deeply and you do indeed discover that it is a fact that this individual or that individual was a Satanist or a practicing witch, that makes all the difference in terms of evaluating the character and trying to figure out what their agenda is or was. And if she indeed is a practicing witch, as it has been alleged, that would explain a lot of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this, I just don't get, I was listening to, I was in the car a lot today, taking my wife to a few appointments that she had. And Glenn Beck pulled up some old clips from the Bill Clinton presidency and his actual governorship in Arkansas. And Hillary Clinton's been talking about, you know, a vast right-wing conspiracy that has been out for her and her husband since the beginning. I just don't understand how she's been continuing to play this narrative and getting the support. We've seen the constant... You know, Bill Clinton was impeached as a president, and right. Hillary, you know, stood by him, but I don't believe it was for any of the reasons that people think, and it was purely for the positions from, you know, the State Department to the position she's in today as right. running for president.
Right.
It wasn't out of, you know, love for her husband or keeping her family together. It was out of a pure selfish political motivation.
That's
and
right.
the people that she calls her heroes or mentors, you know, from Margaret Thatcher to Saul Alinsky. You know, these people were eugenicists and you know, devil worshippers and Satanists. And
right.
the liberal media, the leftist media, it just boggles my mind. When you think things couldn't get more deceptive, couldn't get more hypocritical on their end, it just, you know, goes off the deep end. And, you know, I'm sitting here scratching my head wondering how can these people get away with it. But we see this social justice warriors, all these different, you know, groups and movements and people trying to get behind her for their own selfish reasons at the same time. So there is a, you know, I would agree that it is a mental disorder, this idea that because an African-American gets the presidency, that African-Americans are going to be, you know, so much better off, like they thought with the 08 and Obama. And obviously, as we see, the fruits of that is the opposite. And here we have, you know, the country of people who support Hillary Clinton think that, you know, it's going to be more equality for women because, you know, we all know Hillary's a champion for women's rights. And it's just mind-boggling to see this once great nation from the time I was born until now go down such a dark turn that I don't know that we'll be able to get out of, even with a non-Hillary presidency. But with a Hillary presidency, you can guarantee that it will be full-blown globalism, and she will take it 10 steps further than Obama ever did. And there is no win for America, its Constitution, and the freedoms it gives the citizens and restrictions that it puts on the government. There is no future of any of that with a Hillary Clinton presidency. And it just boggles my mind, you know, the infighting we see with the Republican side and whatnot. But the Hillary Clinton support is just something I don't understand and never will. And it would be interesting to see, and I think we will see, some very shady things happen in this election as the global elitists panic, as they are concerned, as Trump continues to gain momentum. You know, his speech tonight at the RNC, he's going to be talking about and has talked about the keeping America safe again. He's talked about how Obama made the decision to give Hillary keep Hillary in charge of Americans' foreign policy and the disasters that have happened due to that decision, and many other things. You know, keep America safe, make America great, and bringing jobs back to America. And keeping out of, you know, these foreign entanglements that are unneeded. And it'll be interesting to see what Hillary says at the convention in the DNC here coming up after the Republican convention is closed. Is there anything you expect from the DNC? Anything new to be rolled out with them?
Well, you're asking very, very important questions regarding Hillary because people are not stupid. I mean, they can be deceived and gullible, but there's a lot of people that their perceptions are functioning fully well, or they're fully awake, and they understand that Hillary is a very evil and devious, dishonest character. But they're okay with that because she's pushing their agenda. I mean, you take feminism. Hillary, who claims to be the candidate for women, you know, her husband has had so many accusations, it's in the hundreds, of being raped, women being raped or molested, or you can go into the accounts and it's brutal sexual abuse, and then their lives threatened. I mean, it goes back for decades, and it's a long list, it's in the hundreds. So And she allegedly was involved as the one covering it all up, who basically made sure that these girls were terrified and wouldn't come public. Not only that, she has all these dealings with militant Islamic nations where they cut off part of the female's sexual anatomy, where sexual slavery, sexual rape of women, sexual brutality of women is promoted. And is, in fact, it's the law. And she takes money from these countries that treat women like slaves, brutally raping, torturing them, etc., etc. And yet, the feminist, the elderly feminist female, they're dying off in America, but the feminist old guard continues to defend her, and the feminists in the media who are aging continue to defend Hillary like she's a feminist. They're crying out loud. She has single-handedly done more to empower the abuse and exploitation of women than almost any individual I can think of. And the cherry on top is the fact that she is an empowerer and covers up her husband's rapes and sexual abuse and towards women. She's personally involved in the cover up, yeah, terrifying of the girls.
Yeah, she is. And that was one of the things that was talked about, I think, on the Glenn Beck show today. He did a part three of the Hillary criminal stuff, and we specifically focused on the covering up of the sexual abuse by the hands of her husband, Bill Clinton. And they played testimony from some of these women, and it showed the just incredible intimidation that Hillary used with these women, you know, basically getting in their face, holding their hands, and saying things to them that were, you know, could be definitely taken to be threats without saying the words so much. But her lack of empathy for them, I mean, I just don't see any, I don't know any women or woman who would have, with a husband like that, who would defend or back that kind of behavior up. And that's just, you know, mind-blowing in and of itself, aside from all the scandals that she has been a part of and that have come out, from Benghazi to the email scandals. I mean, this is not even, well, this is politics aside. This is just being a good human being and having a heart.
Right.
It was almost like she was rubbing it in their faces while she was, you know, intimidating them at the same time. And that kind of person, to me, is a sociopath with no empathy, only caring, as we said earlier, about her own personal political ambitions.
Yeah, okay, so you know, we can't obviously prove everything that's been discussed, but there's so much of it, so much testimony against her, so many accusations against her, that appear to be credible. She demonstrates, as you said, the qualities of somebody who's sociopathic. So you put that kind of person in office, and whether it's somebody who's like a Nazi sociopath or a communist sociopath, you have all the elements in place. And this is where most Americans, you know, they turn off their brains. They don't want to remember history. You know, that old expression, it can't happen here. Well, when you give absolute power to somebody who is corrupt, and that's what potentially could happen in the United States of America, you have the potential of a dictatorship occurring in the United States of America that is potentially every bit as brutal as what occurred in the communist nations and in Hitler during the Third Reich. And people need to, you know, we have a very indulged millennial generation that doesn't know history, and we have a lot of people that are older than the millennials who have forgotten their history. When evil comes into power and they are in charge of the military and the police force and everything else, things can become very brutal and very ugly. And it goes way beyond what most people are able to conceive of. But if they read their history books and read what actually happened in the communist nations like Poland that were taken over, or East Germany, or Nazi Germany, or any other nation,
yeah,
you know, it's horrifying.
It is. And Paul, we're up okay, against the top of the hour break. Folks, you're listening to Paul McGuire. His website, paulmcguire.us. Check out his new show, The Paul McGuire Report, airing 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. You can get the archive on iTunes, SoundCloud. Go to his website, paulmcguire.us. His new book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, also out. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.